Welcome to day four of My Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland from Hidden with Christ Ministries, sharing with you a wonderful journey through the Word of God. Since My Everyday Bible is being presented in a chronological order rather than reading straight through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, today we are going to read from the book of Job, chapters 1 through 5. Now, the author of Job, according to Jewish tradition as well as biblical scholars, is believed to have been Moses, the same man who authored, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the book of Genesis. So Job and Genesis have parallel time frames, and that's why today we're going to start in the book of Job, from chapters 1 through 5. To give you a little bit of background on Job, we will just introduce it by saying simply that Job was, first of all, a real character, this is not a parable or just a story to give insight, but instead he is considered to be a real person that actually lived in patriarchal times, possibly a descendant of Abraham's brother Nahor, and he's referred to in both the books of Ezekiel and James as being an actual figure in biblical history. The book of Job is a fascinating one from the standpoint of the fact that it addresses a subject that has been pondered all the centuries of mankind, and that is the issue of human suffering. Why do bad things happen to good people is often a question asked, even in our contemporary society. And here we have a man who's considered a very godly person who in a single day suffers outrageous losses from every area of his life, from his finances or his wealth. He was one of the wealthiest mans in his day, to losing family and to losing his health. So you could say he suffered tremendous blows on every side. And then three of his friends come along during this story who begin to use their own imaginations, if you will, or their own understanding to try to explain Job's trials to him. They conclude that Job must have sinned in some way and that his attempts to justify himself as being a godly person must be incorrect and that God basically punishes sinful people. Now, we must keep in mind as we listen to the scripture being read that though these words that I'm going to be reading to you are written down in the Bible, they are not a reflection of God's opinion on this situation, but instead they are a reflection of what the people at that time thought and said. So it's a historical record, but it's not a record of what God thinks. It's a record of what certain men thought. Their conclusions were erroneous, as it turns out, because in the end of the story, we find God rebuking Job's friends and causing Job to pray for them and then for them to be forgiven, because God was not happy with what they said about his servant Job. So as you listen and you hear Job's friends accusing him of being a hypocrite and various other things and how he must not have done right in the sight of God, remember you're hearing what men thought and how men tried to understand what was happening in Job's life. We see this happen today when a bad thing happens to someone we consider to be a good person and people try to explain it out of their natural minds. And it is never an accurate reflection of what's really happening. One of the things I want you to focus on when you hear these first few chapters is the fact that Satan himself was actually the author of the trouble that came into Job's life, which you will see. And this is a revelation for us, even in our modern day, that there is a satanic component, or you could say a spiritual warfare against people that definitely brings trouble into people's lives. And that's one bit of revelation that we need to take away from the book of Job, and there are many others. Other basic information that you should know is that Job, in the end, is able, by the grace of God, to make a very powerful confession of faith in the middle of his very desperate condition. And he says, even if God slays me, still will I trust in him. So you're going to see this amazing profession of faith in the midst of severe trial. And in the end, his acknowledgement of God and God's acknowledgement of him and God's eventual restoration and literal multiplication of blessing in Job's life shows God's true character, which is always to bless his people, not to harm them. So consider this book as a revelation of how man likes to try to explain trouble that happens in the earth, and how God is trying to actually show us that there's a satanic component as well as an open door that sometimes people themselves open in their lives, such as the door of fear versus faith, because Job himself said, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. So keep those things in your mind as you begin to hear the book of Job being read today. Job chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through the end of Job chapter 5. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now on the day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he's in your power, only spare his life." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, they came, each one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes at a distance and did not recognize him, they raised their voices and wept. And each of them tore his robe, and they threw dust over their heads toward the sky. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights, with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. Afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, "Let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which said, 'A boy is conceived.' May that day be darkness. Let not God above care for it, nor shine light on it. Let darkness and black gloom claim it. Let a cloud settle on it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful shout enter it. Let those curse it who curse the day, who are prepared to rouse Leviathan. Let the stars of its twilight be darkened. Let it wait for light but have none. And let it not see the breaking dawn, because it did not shut the opening of my mother's womb or hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth, come forth from the womb and expire? Why did the knees receive me, and why the breast that I should suck? For now on I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept then. I would have been at rest with kings and with counselors of the earth who rebuilt ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold, who were filling their houses with silver. Or like a miscarriage which is discarded, I would not be, as infants that never saw light. There the wicked cease from raging, and there the weary are at rest. The prisoners are at ease together. They do not hear the voice of the taskmaster. The small and the great are there, and the slave is free from his master. Why is light given to him who suffers, and life to the bitter of soul, who longs for death, and there is none, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures, who rejoice greatly and exult when they find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden and whom God has hedged in? For my groaning comes at the sight of my food, and my cries pour out like water. For what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet, and I am not at rest, but turmoil comes. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered, If one ventures a word with you, will you become impatient? But who can refrain from speaking? Behold, you have admonished many, and you have strengthened weakened hands. Your words have helped the tottering to stand, and you have strengthened feeble knees. But now it has come to you, and you are impatient. It touches you, and you are dismayed. Is not your fear of God your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Remember now, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the upright destroyed? According to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. By the breath of God they perish, and by the blast of his anger they come to an end. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The lions perish for lack of prey, and the whelps of the lioness are scattered. Now a word was brought to me stealthily, and my ear received a whisper of it. Amid disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, dread came upon me, and trembling, and made all my bones shake. Then a spirit passed by my face. The hair of my flesh bristled up. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice. Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his Maker? He puts no trust even in his servants, and against his angels he charges error. How much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before the moth. Between morning and evening they are broken in pieces. Unobserved they perish forever. Is not their tent cord plucked up within them? They die yet without wisdom. Call now, is there anyone who will answer you? And to which of the holy ones will you turn? For anger slays the foolish man, and jealousy kills the simple. I have seen the foolish taking root, and I cursed his abode immediately. His sons are far from safety. They are even oppressed in the gate, and there is no deliverer. His harvest the hungry devour, and take it to a place of thorns, and the schemer is eager for their wealth. For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. For man is born for trouble, as sparks fly upward. But as for me, I would seek God, and I would place my cause before God, who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields, so that he sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the plotting of the shrewd, so that their hands cannot attain success. He captures the wise by their own shrewdness, and the advice of the cunning is quickly thwarted. By day they meet with darkness and grope at noon as in the night, but he saves from the sword of their mouth and the poor from the hand of the mighty, so the helpless has hope, and unrighteousness must shut its mouth. Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds, and his hands also heal. From six troubles he will deliver you, even in seven evil will not touch you. In famine he will redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You will be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you will not be afraid of violence when it comes. You will laugh at violence and famine. You will not be afraid of wild beasts, for you will be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field will be at peace with you. You will know that your tent is secure, for you will visit your abode and fear no loss. You will know also that your descendants will be many, and your offspring as the grass of the earth. You will come to the grave in full vigor, like the stacking of grain in its season. Behold this, we have investigated it, and so it is. Hear it and know for yourself. That's the end of Job chapter 5. And now I want to share just a few thoughts with you in today's devotional. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's devotional, I want to point out several things that I believe are very applicable to our lives today that we can gather from these first five chapters of Job. The first thing I want you to observe is that God's testimony about Job's character was that he was a very blameless man. He was righteous in his generation, that he was godly in God's eyes. In fact, God was actually bragging about his servant Job in the first chapter. And the second thing that I want to point out to you that is very important is that when Job began to experience trouble, we need to trace it to its original cause, and that was Satan himself. The Bible refers to Satan in the book of Revelation as the accuser of the brethren. And that's exactly what we see Satan doing here. He's accusing God's man, Job, and saying he only serves God for his own good, for his own material prosperity, because God's put a hedge about him and he won't continue to serve you. In fact, Satan accuses him of being a person who would curse God to his face if God took away any of the blessing that he was experiencing in his life. So we see the accuser, Satan, accusing Job to God himself. So we can find in this revelation that we have to understand that there is a real spiritual battle that's going on in the spiritual realm over our lives even today that was happening at the time of Job. There is a spiritual realm that we often don't see into, and we don't see all that's happening around us. There are evil spirits, there are godly spirits, angelic spirits, so to speak. And all these things are happening around us that we often are blinded to because we're so consumed with our natural lives. Now, I fully believe that we can see in the spirit by the grace of God and as God allows us, but oftentimes we're so focused on natural things, our daily lives, the fact that we need to pay the rent and buy groceries and do our jobs and take care of problems that arise, that we are not in tune with what's happening in the spirit. And in order for any of us to really understand what happens in our lives, we have to have the revelation that there's another realm that impacts our daily lives. And we see this revealed in this very first chapter of the book of Job when we see Satan accusing Job to God and wanting to destroy him to prove that Job only serves him because God blesses him. And this is not true, but Satan is a liar, as Jesus told in the Gospels, he revealed Satan's a liar and a thief. He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's his whole purpose. And so we find him here trying to do all of the above, to kill, steal, and destroy, according to John 10:10. So Satan wants to destroy Job because he does serve God. And we have to have that revelation that there is a spiritual battle against our lives as servants of God. And we need to be aware and not end up blaming God when there's a battle that ensues against our lives. And we see here that the most amazing, I think one of the most beautiful verses as this book begins is found where Job says, after having gotten news of multiple tragedies occurring, his own children being killed by a freak tornado, it appears, and the house falling on them and killing all of them, and then thievery happening, robbers coming from this land and that land and taking all of his cattle, his oxen, his donkeys, his camels. In a single day, he has phenomenal losses. And we see here at the end of chapter 1 that Job rises up after getting all this news, tears his robe, shaves his head, and falls to the ground and just worships God. Now, that would not be the reaction of most people in today's society. If news of such disaster came to a person, even those who claim to be Christians and know God, that would most likely not be the response. And yet we see Job simply worshiping the Lord and saying, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the final verse of chapter 1 reveals to me Job's real character. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Now, I want to comment that those words where he says the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away were not accurate. It wasn't God that took away these things. It was Satan himself. But even in his lack of understanding of what was happening, he was able to worship God and say, blessed be the name of the Lord, without blaming God for the whole problem, saying, why have you done this? Most people, the natural human reaction to tragedy is, why have you done this, God? Why have you allowed this, God? And absolutely in a blaming and accusatory tone of heart and mind will most people respond to tragedy that comes upon their lives, rather than simply worshiping God and saying, I'm just going to trust you. I don't understand this, but I am going to worship you because you are good, and I don't understand what's going on right now, but I choose to worship you and honor you regardless of what's happening. I love chapter 1, verse 22, the final verse of chapter 1. Through all this, through all what? Through all this tragedy, bad news, circumstance, loss, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. That's a phenomenal thing. I want to encourage you today. We all face difficulties in life, and sometimes it's literally satanic in origin, trying to harass you, trying to put pressure on you, trying to get you to recant your faith in God. And yet, if we can take Job's position of just, I'm going to worship God. I do not understand this. I do not, obviously, this is crushing to my heart, but I'm going to worship you. I am not going to enter into the sin of blaming God for something that Satan has been the instigator of tragedy, which I guarantee you comes from him. The second thing that is fascinating to me is that we find Job's wife encouraging him to curse God and die. How tragic is that? He has just gotten another tragic situation coming on his life. It's the place where he suddenly is breaking out in boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he's in extraordinary pain, excruciating pain, unable to take care of this problem, sitting in a pile of ashes and just trying to scrape the boils to get some relief. And his wife says to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job's response to her is so amazing. He says, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And then the verse ends with, "In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." How profound is that? Job guarded his mouth from saying anything, even though he just received more difficulty into his life, more adversity. He restrained himself from cursing God, from blaming God, from questioning God. And he held fast to his integrity before God. I want to just encourage you, if you are a spouse, you have a husband or a wife, ask the Lord to make you a person who is an encourager and who is one who builds up with their words and doesn't tear down. This example of his wife encouraging Job to curse God and die is so astonishing to me, but it's very common, I think. She looked at the situation with her own eyes and just obviously, if she had any faith, she cast it aside. I'm not sure that she had any to start with regard to God. Obviously she did not have the relationship with God that Job had. She just immediately took the circumstances and said, "Curse God and die. That's it. We're done. I'm done with this God thing." She was no encouragement to her husband. If you are a spouse and your husband or wife is going through a difficult time, maybe at work, maybe with other family, extended family, maybe financially, are you an encourager or are you one who is literally with your mouth speaking death, speaking defeat, speaking destruction to your husband? Are you saying words that'll discourage or that will encourage? It's so powerful, the words of our mouth. And we will talk more about this as we touch on this very theme throughout Scripture. But here's an example of someone who had no revelation about how powerful the words of the mouth are and spoke out of her own heart, "Curse God and die. Don't hold fast to your integrity." If you're married, I encourage you, be somebody who can speak life and blessing and encouragement and not destruction with your mouth to your spouse, even if they've made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But God called, through Job, called this lady a foolish one who speaks as a foolish woman speaks. So this was an interesting and sad situation that Job faced. Even his spouse didn't support him in the middle of his extreme trial and adversity. And then to add insult to injury after that situation, the next scene that we see is the visit of Job's three friends. And I put those words in quotations because what is revealed throughout the rest of the chapters, these friends don't bring a friendly word to Job at all. Though they sat with him for 7 days without saying anything to him, which they should have remained in that condition, that would have been the best thing. But for 7 days and seven nights, they didn't speak a word to him. The scripture says because they saw his pain was very great. Well, that was good. They had compassion on him. Supposedly, according to the word that says, they came to sympathize with him and comfort him. But as it turns out, the words of their mouths were no comfort either. It's very fascinating how Job's friends begin their various soliloquies that they give to Job, their counsel, their statement about his condition. And it begins in the fourth chapter with this man named Eliphaz, the Temanite. And he begins to speak to Job this long discourse that is certainly no encouragement whatsoever. In fact, he basically tells Job this stuff has happened to you because you must have sinned. There's no other way. And his words are basically, in chapter 4, verse 8, he says, according to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. So he's telling him, hey, the only person who ends up harvesting trouble, like you have just harvested a truckload of trouble, must be because you plowed iniquity, some type of sin, and then you sowed trouble yourself, and now you're getting a harvest of it. Well, this is not true, as we will see as the book of Job continues and God himself comes to Job's defense against his friends. But here we have his supposed friend telling him, well, old buddy, you must have done something wrong. And this same theme is echoed as we go through the chapters by the other two friends who continue in the same vein. But I bring this out to simply say to you that Job suffered not only loss of finances, loss of family, loss of his health, but then loss of encouragement from his spouse, and then loss of any type of encouragement, comfort from his friends. So his trial was amplified by the words of both his wife and his friends. So his heart must have been so heavy as his friend began to speak and tells him, hey, this is what I've seen. You must have done something wrong. And another point I'll make here is that this man, Eliphaz, was speaking out of his own mind. He said, according to what I've seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. So he's basically telling him, hey, here's my experience. This is what I've observed in life. And he's speaking out of his natural mind. But it gets worse, because then he tells Job a story about how in verse 15 of chapter 4, a spirit passed by my face and the hair of my flesh bristled up. So you could say all his hair stood up on end. And I couldn't discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. And then I heard a voice. Okay, he's talking about an evil spirit. And this man, a lying spirit, because he begins to say these words, can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? And Eliphaz is assuming he's getting revelation from God for Job. And the truth is, this description that he gives here in chapter 4 is a lying spirit that he saw and heard. And then he repeats the words to Job, which are more accusation of Job's character. And I tell you, I have seen people say very religious things that were not from God, but they sounded religious and sounded spiritual, but they were literally demonic in origin, like the spirit that is described here in chapter 4 of Job. So you have to be very careful what you listen to and any type of advice or counsel you receive, as and test it as whether it's really from the Lord. The things that this spirit said that Eliphaz repeated are unscriptural. They're unscriptural. And so what he repeated was just like a demon talking, and he repeated it to him as if he had gotten revelation from God about Job's life. And the reality was, he was repeating what a lying spirit was saying. This man was not giving him godly counsel. He was giving him out of his natural mind, and then he was also speaking what came from an unclean spirit. So I share that with you simply to say that when you're under pressure, when you're facing adversity, when you are going through a trial, you're going to have to be very careful what you listen to, who you receive counsel from, and make sure everything you're receiving is biblically based, is scriptural, has truth in it, or you can be just so discouraged by the words of the mouths of people. I've heard people, when people have faced tragedy and maybe lost a loved one, say the most ridiculous things that sounded very spiritual. Oh, God just needed another angel. That's why he took your baby. that is as unscriptural as it could get. And yet it sounds religious somehow. It's not religious. God doesn't take people's babies to make another angel in heaven. That is not, angels are not men, are not human beings that went to heaven. So that's like unscriptural. And yet people will say things like that when they see somebody suffering some tragedy or adversity. So when you're in that situation, learn from the book of Job to be careful what you say with your own mouth, and then be even more careful what you hear from other people, and make sure what you are receiving is scriptural, biblical, and the people who are giving you advice or counsel actually know God and walk with God and have a revelation from God and not just from their own minds. So let's take these lessons from the book of Job, and with God's grace and with his help, when we face difficulty, we can say with Job, and as Job did, blessed be the name of the Lord, and not sin with our mouths or blame God when we're facing difficulty. God will intervene in your situation. Hold fast to him. When we get to the end of this book, you will see God's opinion about Job. You will also see God's restoration of Job, and you will see God multiplying blessing to Job. So don't be discouraged if you're facing adversity right now. God is able, willing, and desiring to turn it around for you and give you a testimony of restoration and double portion blessing. So let's continue in this book tomorrow, and we will learn from it, but we won't take every word as if it came from God, but instead realize that it's how oftentimes a human being looks at a situation and then talks about a situation, and then it's proven to be just having come from their own mind and not from the heart of God. So let's learn from the book of Job and receive what God wants us to receive. The last thing I want to say is this, that Job did err in one area that I will point out to you that's revealed in this third chapter. And it's where he confesses in the end of chapter 3 that what I fear comes upon me. What I was afraid of has come upon me. What I dreaded has befallen me. He says in the 25th actually verse of chapter 3. And it's important for us as believers not to enter into fear about any area of our lives, because fear is an open door that the enemy, Satan, can exploit in your life. God wants you to trust him, keep your faith in him, not be afraid for your family or your finances or your health, but instead say, God, my trust is in you. I will rely upon you, and don't allow fear to dominate your life. Fear is absolutely the opposite of faith, because it puts trust in what the devil says as opposed to putting trust in what God says, which is what faith is, trusting in the word and the character of God. So let's be a people of faith and watch God turn every situation around for us. God bless you and have a victorious day. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.